This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yes, good morning, Frida Liu here. Jeevan Sahadevan from Leverage Lab. He's here in the studio with me because it is the first Monday of the month. It's already June. And our discussion today is on sales, right? 19 questions to assess, calibrate, and improve your sales performance. Why 19?
Well, it's 2019, so let's go with 19.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Many salespeople, or their managers for that matter, don't even know which areas in the entire sales or selling spectrum that they're strong in or which areas that they're weak in or need work in. So salespeople often struggle with this. They look at just the final thing. Did I close or did I not close? But leading up to that, it's a whole bunch of things that they don't consider or even look at. So what I did, I put together these 19 questions to help a salesperson or their managers when they work with them to understand and to assess how good they really are and calibrate where they need to improve and how to go about improving. So each of these questions, it's just going to open up your mind and it's going to get you thinking very deeply about all the different aspects of your selling process, all kinds of areas. So I've done it in order. So we're going to look at from the very beginning of the sales process where you qualify and everything right down to closing and all
this
that.
This is your sales diagnostic.
Yes, my sales diagnostic. So it's a sales diagnostic. So if you want to diagnose yourself and say, hey, look, am I really doing this right? Where can I improve? If you really want to improve your sales, then answer these questions. Spend some time, maybe a couple of hours on it. Answer them very deeply. You'll be very surprised. And by the end of the 19th question, and if you've answered everything correctly, you'll find that you're extremely motivated and your sales will fly. The first question alone will transform your sales.
Okay, now these questions, is it answered individual or as a group?
It's very good to do it both actually. One as an individual because you want to spend some time really thinking about your sales process, and as a group because you get a lot of ideas. Sometimes your colleagues can say certain answers. Hey, I never thought of that, or I didn't think of that. So there's a lot of benefit both ways. And my suggestion is every salesperson take down the 19 questions, spend some time on it, and then later get together as a group and really discuss it. And you'll see huge transformations in your sales. Because sometimes when I do my sales trainings, I will ask these questions. I will ask some of the sales, and they really struggle answering them. You'll see shortly, some of these questions, they can't just answer them. They're like, oh gosh, I never thought of that. And but the answer to the question can double, triple, quadruple your sales.
Okay, what's the first question?
All right, so let's get right into it. So 19 questions for your sales diagnostic. Question number one. So the first four questions, they're about the qualifying process, making sure that you're in front of all the right people. So the first question, who is my target market? So as a salesperson, you want to think, okay, who is my target market? Who am I targeting? Think of it in terms of chunks. So who are my target markets? You can't just go out and say everyone is my target market. No, think, okay, maybe I'm going to target young executives or retired pensioners or maybe single mothers, or I want to target young couples with small children. So who is my target market? Could be companies. I want to target manufacturers. I may want to target retail owners. Or I want to target car companies. So who is my target market? Think in terms of chunks. So the first question, make a list of all the chunks that are your target markets because of the second question. So the first question is, who is my target market? Now the second question is, where do I find them in the highest concentrations? So if you say, for instance, one of my target markets is manufacturers, where would I find manufacturers in the highest concentration? If you're over in Seremban, for instance, one highest concentration would be Senawang. That area of Senawang where the whole bunch of manufacturers are. Or it could be the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers, that guidebook that you have, the database of all of them. And it could be so many things you can do. You can look geographically, you could look at location, or you could go to a database, or you can go to an association, you can go to a club. So when you ask this question, the first question, who is my target market? And with the second question, where do I find them in the highest concentrations? Look at what's just happened. You now are clear who you should be targeting and where they're all located. And you can start to realize, gosh, there's just so much business out there that haven't targeted. Imagine if you have 37 target markets and you've got five highest concentrations for each one. That's huge. That's almost 200 areas that you could approach. So these two questions will wake you up immediately. They qualify. You're qualifying now. You're qualifying all the right things. Then comes question three. So now that you know who's your target market and where do you find them in the highest concentration, question three is, what are my strategies to penetrate these highest concentrations?
Okay.
Am I going to have an exhibition? Am I going to talk to my boss and my manager, say, can we do an exhibition? For instance, if one highest concentration is office workers, executives, and you go to Manara UOA, could I have an exhibition booth there? So, or am I going to do telemarketing? Or am I going to do social media ads? I'll target them through social media ads. Or am I going to use physical advertisements on a billboard? Whatever. What am I going to do? So you've got to ask, as a salesperson, salespeople don't think about these things. They just say, well, I'm just going to try and do some sales. Yeah, but, well, that's great. But who's your target market? Where do you find them in the highest concentration? And when you know that, what are your strategies to penetrate these highest concentrations? Mm. You see, already we are three questions deep.
Right.
And you're already getting an edge over every other salesperson in the country.
Right.
You're already getting an edge.
You can stop already.
And you can stop already. Yeah, exactly. And we've got 19, you know. I've designed 19 questions. And these 19 questions, by the way, they didn't just fall out of the sky, but they're based on my 19 years of coaching salespeople. So look at that, the numbers. Interesting how it all lines up, isn't it? There've been over 19 years of coaching salespeople of all kinds of industries. I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of different types of businesses, thousands of businesses out there. So they're based on that, really. So that's question three. Mm-hmm. Question four. I love question four. Mm. And people get really motivated when they do this one. Who are my dream 100 decision makers?
Okay.
So this, with question four, what you're doing, Frida, is that you're making a list of decision makers. These are now the names of the people of companies you want to target. And it's your dream 100. These are their dream clients.
As you're talking to me with these questions, yeah. I can see the filter.
There, you got it. You got it. Very good. Excellent. And imagine this, yeah? You write a list down and you've got this dream 100. Maybe the CEO of Petronas, or maybe, you know, you've got the CEO of Alum Flora or whatever. You've got this dream 100. And you start meeting these decision makers and you start signing them up. Mm. You start closing them and their companies. Imagine how you feel. It's incredible. Number four is a dream question. It's a really, really nice question. I get those who do B2B, business to business, they would have their dream 100 companies that they want to be mm-hmm. to target as their clients. Those who do B2C would be the dream 100 people mm-hmm. that you want to be as your client. So think of it as a mafia hit list. You know,
okay. You've got
all these 100 names there and I'm going to get all of them as my clients. And I did this myself many years ago and I started securing many of these companies as my clients. Mm. It was phenomenal because when you have a dream 100, what will happen is your brain starts, whatever you focus on expands. Mm. So your brain starts to find ways to reach this dream 100. Like you'll be reading the papers and suddenly, hey, this CEO is featured in the newspapers or in social media about something, and you can just send a LinkedIn message or send a letter and say congratulations for this, this and this. And next thing you know, you're starting to interact with some of these dream 100. Mm. And it's really incredible. So question four is, who are my dream 100 decision makers? Mm. Now we've done with qualifying. We're now going into the next phase, which is your diagnostic, where you're diagnosing the prospect, your skill of diagnosing a prospect. Because before you can actually close a sale, you need to know what are the factors that will motivate someone to buy. So here we've got the next four questions. You're going to diagnose the person. So number five, question five is, what are the top three frustrations people have in dealing with my industry?
Mm.
You see, now not just your company or your product, think of your industry. If you say you're in the car business and you're selling cars, secondhand cars, so if I ask you, Prida, if you were buying a secondhand car, what would be the top three frustrations you would have in dealing with the secondhand car market? What would it be?
Whether they're telling the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Can I trust this car?
Yeah.
I
mean, How many accidents has it been through?
I mean, there may be no engine in there. But
yeah,
see?
Yeah.
Yeah, but exactly. So you're scared. You want to, if I take this car out, will it break down in 2 days, in 5 days, in one month?
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful frustration.
No guarantees.
Exactly.
Yeah, no warranties.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as a salesperson, you really want to know this because you want to address this. Let's try another one. If you're buying a property, what would be one of your top three frustrations?
It depends, right? I mean, if it's mm-hmm. if you say I'm going to live there, right?
Okay.
You know, how traffic jam.
Traffic jam is maintenance.
Right? Yeah, maintenance.
Will they maintain it well? You know, what kind of neighbors am I going to have?
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
That one, sometimes you leave it to God, seriously.
So this question five, what are the top three frustrations people have in dealing with the industry gives you a huge amount of insight on how to tackle these buyers,
mm-hmm.
which then leads into question six. What are the top three frustrations people have in dealing with my company or product? So first you look at the industry, now you look at my company or my product. Because some people are not paying attention to this. There could be customers out there or people out there who just have frustrations in dealing with your business, in your company, with your product. If you're a car company, for instance, and people are frustrated. So are you addressing these things? Which then comes to question seven. What are the top three reasons customers have for buying your product? So when someone does buy your product or service, what are the top three reasons? Why are they even buying? If you go to a restaurant and you eat, what are the top three reasons you have for eating at that particular restaurant? You'd be very surprised, you know. And I learned, one of the things I learned is never assume, always ask. Ask and find out, and you'll be very surprised what the answers are. So that's the question seven, the diagnostics. Question eight, still part of the diagnostic, is what are the factors that will motivate a person to buy my product? At this point of the diagnostic, you want to know, okay, as a salesperson, do I really know this? Do I know what are the factors that will motivate someone to buy my product? I can tell you, when I talk to salespeople, 7 out of 10 do not know what are the factors that will motivate someone to buy the product.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I mean, they're very simple questions,
Exactly.
But the answers are very difficult.
The answers are difficult. You know, there's this joke, with Einstein. I don't know if it's true, actually. So Einstein was setting an exam question. So he set this question for this class. And then the following year, he set the same questions again. And then they said, hey, what's going on? You set the exact same questions as you did in the last year. And he said, yes, but the answers have changed. I think it's a true story, you know.
Okay. So we've gone through the.
So we're at question eight now.
Okay, so we went through qualifying and diagnosing.
Qualifying and diagnosing. Two have done. So this is, by the way, this is just following my formula. Some time ago, I introduced a formula to our listeners out there, and this is the Jeevan Sahadevan sales formula, the sales fundamentals formula. It's QDPC multiplied by M equals sales success.
Right. Okay.
So I'm actually paying attention to the formula as we go through the question. Okay. So the first four was Q, which is qualifying. Right. The next four is D, which is diagnosing. You're diagnosing the prospect. And then now we're going to go into P.
P. Okay. Yeah. We'll find out what P is after this. So Jeevan Sahadevan from Leverage Lab. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Baba from Malacca, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Open for Business, getting us into the Raya mood. Jeevan Sahadevan here with us, and we're talking about a very important thing, 19 questions. 19 questions to help you with sales and all that. So I know that to assess, calibrate, improve your sales performance, we've gone through eight.
That's right.
We went through four questions for qualifying, four questions for diagnostics, and then we were going to go P.
Yeah, which is present. So you've qualified your prospects. You've now done a diagnostic on them. And the next stage now, you're looking at your skill at presenting. So here are some four questions to ask yourself regarding how good you are at actually presenting your solution to your prospects. So these questions are going to get you thinking. The first four questions got you thinking about how good you are at qualifying the right prospect. The second four questions got you thinking about how good you are at diagnosing your prospects. Now we see how good you are at presenting to them. So question nine, what are my products top three features? So what are my products top three features? When I look at the products or services that I'm selling, what are the top three features of this product or this service, whether it's a legal service or it's a handphone that you're selling or it's computers or even a restaurant? So what are the top three features? Which is again surprising, because people would know some of the features, but they won't know what the top three is. So you want to pay attention to what is the absolute top three, the best features of my product, the one that's going to shake the room.
Okay.
What is my absolute top three? And sometimes I'll just have some fun. I'll say, okay, those of you with the latest handphone of this brand or that brand, tell me what's the best feature. Then they have to think about it. Say, oh, I never thought of it like that. So what's the absolute best feature of this phone? You see, so you've never thought about it. So think about it. So what are the top three features of the products or services that I sell? So that's question nine. Number 10, what are the top three benefits of those features? You see, you must understand, people don't buy features, they buy benefits. So, for example, you don't buy a drill because you want a drill. You buy a drill because you want a hole in the wall. You buy a lawnmower because you want a freshly cut lawn. You don't want a lawnmower. You want a facial because you want a pretty face. So people buy benefits. So now that you know what the top three features are, what are the top three benefits of those features? So give one benefit for each feature. A feature is a fact or a logical fact about the product, like this car has 8 airbags. Mm. A benefit is an emotional reason that arises out of the feature. So example, this car has 8 airbags, which means whatever side another car collides with you, your family is safe. That's a benefit. So question 9 was, what are my product's top 3 features? Top 3 benefits of these features? Question 11, what are our top 3 advantages over our competitors? So now you're looking at your competitors and you're asking, what are my top 3 advantages over my competitors? I mean, there are a lot of people competing out there and many businesses, again, can't answer this one. So, like, for example, if I talk to 2 printers, printer A is selling name cards and printer B is selling name cards as well, and I say, why should I buy from you and not from the other guy? He's going to have a hard time answering that question. And if his answer is, we give good quality and good service, well, that's like saying my car has 4 tires. And each tire is so perfectly round, it touches the ground at the same time. It doesn't make any sense. So you got to have more. You got to have more answers. So what are your advantages over your competitors? Why should someone buy from you and not your competitor? If whether you're selling properties or whether you're selling unit trusts or legal services or medical services or dental services, why should someone buy from you? What are your advantages? So that's what this question is digging out. Question 12. Also still in the looking at your presenting skills, who are our top 3 testimonials? Who are the people out there who are your best, the best 3 testimonials you've got? You really want to share that. And again, people don't realize the power of a testimonial, because you could think your product's so great, but if someone else thinks so,
even better.
Exactly, even better. So who are your top 3 testimonials? And talk about it. So if you're going to sell something, say, oh, by the way, and then show them. So this is what people are saying. So these 4 questions come under presenting. Then comes the 4th area of my formula, which is closing, QDPC. So qualifying, diagnosing, presenting, and closing. So now we're going to take a look at your ability to close sales. How good are you at closing? We're looking at 4 questions again. So question 13 would be, what are the top 3 beliefs I have that's stopping or slowing down my sales?
Ooh.
One of the things that stops a person selling well or slowing him down is actually his beliefs. Some people don't really believe in the product or the service. For example, I'll ask this question. I'm going to say a word. Tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Let's have some fun, okay? I'm going to say this, Frida. I'm going to say a word and tell me the first thing that comes to mind when I say this word. No cheating. Salesman.
Right.
What's the first word?
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, as in, you know,
well, there you go.
Being sold.
Yeah, being sold. So when I say this in seminar, sometimes someone will say aggressive, or they'll say blunt, or they'll say doesn't care about the customers, or things like that. So I say, look, if this is what you believe about a salesperson, and you're a salesperson, you're a salesman, you're a saleswoman, and you believe this about them, it's going to have an effect on your selling process. So you've got to change this belief. So this question is uncovering your beliefs. What are the top 3 beliefs I have that's stopping or slowing down my sales? It could be your belief about salespeople in general, or about the product, or about the company, or about money. Do you know some people have major issues with money, you know?
Yeah.
They actually can't make it because they have a lot of issues around it. They think money is bad. And it's really fascinating to see the beliefs that hold people back. There's some people who have got beliefs about the products they sell. And so, you know, it's really interesting. Then comes question 14. How did I come to believe this?
Ooh.
So in question 13, you're looking at what your top 3 beliefs are that's stopping you from selling well. Then in question 14, you're digging now. You're digging. How do I come to believe this? What happened in my past for me to believe stuff like this about salespeople or the company or the product or the industry, whatever it is? So that's question 14. So you see, when it comes to closing sales, this is interesting. We're not looking at technique here. We're looking at obstacles that stop you from closing. Question 15, name 3 references of incredible sales performances in my company or industry. So let's say, for example, you sell property or you sell unit trusts. Name 3 references. That means who are 3 people you know out there who are extremely good at selling unit trusts, extremely good at selling property? Or it doesn't have to be in your company, it can be in your industry, it can be in a competitor company, it can be in a different company. But these references will start to empower your beliefs. They start getting you believing in selling again. For instance, if you think very low of selling, go and read some books on sales written by incredible salespeople, Tom Hopkins, Joe Girard. Joe Girard's the world's number one salesman. Read his books. I mean, this guy's number one in the world. And you'll be influenced by it. These are references. So the reason you believe what you believe is because you have a reference, a negative reference.
Right.
So why not have a positive reference?
Mm.
So this question is teaching you how to have a positive reference. I remember many years ago, I had a young man come to see me and he said, Jeevan, everyone keeps telling him he's going to fail in his business, 21 years old, and can he be successful? Because people say 21-year-olds are not successful on their first business. So I said, look, that's their references. Why don't you get some better ones? And you just go to YouTube and Google, or go to Google or YouTube and just search 21-year-old successful entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And this guy found a huge number of references to help him realize that, wow, there are a lot of people out there, many people out there who are just super successful at a young age. So there you go, references. That's number 15. Number 16, what three things can I do to model that? So now that you know your references in number 15, what are the three things you can do to model that? Maybe you could speak the way this person speaks, or dress up the way this person dresses up, or follow their morning habits. You know, they may have a morning ritual that they talk about. You could wake up and do all the same things they do. Model it. You see, if you, Frida, if you made a cheesecake that's really, really delicious, I can make the exact same cheesecake if I model the recipe.
Right.
Then I'd have the exact same cheesecake. If you don't tell me the full recipe, I wouldn't have it. So that's question 16. Sorry. Question 17. So now the next three is mindset. So QDPC times M equals sales success. So Q is qualifying, D is diagnosing, QDPC, P is presenting, C is closing, and M in my formula is mindset. And as you know, it's the formula is QDPC multiplied by M
equals sales success. Okay.
Sales success, because anything multiplied by zero is zero. If your mindset's in the gutter, then you're not going to go very far. So
it's funny, though, that you said top three beliefs that are stopping you back, you put that under closing and not mindset.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Because those are actually closing factors. Those are factors that are affecting your sales. It's a mindset in a way as well.
Okay.
But here with mindset, take a look at what I'm actually looking at when I come to mindset. So three very important things. In fact, these three things alone can transform your entire mindset. So number 17, what three things, if I participate 100% in from today, will guarantee me a stellar sales performance? What three things, if I participate 100% in from today, will guarantee me a stellar sales performance? I'm looking at 100% participation. So what are the three things out there that if you went 100% in, you see, all of life is participation. There's no such thing really as success or failure because that's a man-made term. There only is participation. If you look at the animal world, if a cat climbs a tree and the cat falls down, what's the cat do? You just get up and climb again. That's it. It just participates again. But human beings have a habit of giving it a label. Oh, I'm a failure. Oh, I'm not successful. Cats don't do that. The lion just, if it's hungry, he participates in the hunt. It's not going to say, oh, you know, today I'm fasting. Or today is a day I just don't believe in hunting. Or my hand kind of hurts. He's not going to do that. He's just going to hunt. If he's hungry, he's just going to hunt.
Yeah.
But we human beings have all kinds of nonsense we put in our heads that stop us getting sales. So you want to take a look at, if you were to participate in three things, what would they be that would guarantee you stellar performances? Example, one of it could be meeting 5 face-to-face prospects a week, every week, no matter what.
Right.
No matter what, you will see 5 prospects every week, no matter what. And you participate in getting that to happen. So that's question 17. Mm-hmm. Question 18, what three areas must I take 100% responsibility in to be incredibly successful?
Okay.
What three areas must I take 100% responsibility in to be incredibly successful? Now, here's an example that many salespeople really dis. I mean, this is a question they need to pay attention because they love to blame. They blame their managers. They say, oh, no, this manager recruited me into this property business and that doesn't help me. But let me say this. Who eats for you? You eat for yourself. Someone can't eat on your behalf. You know, I can't come home one day after a long day and give you a call, Frida, and say, Frida, I'm really tired, but I need to exercise. Can you do some push-ups on my behalf? I mean, you'll probably smack me for that, you know, but it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, you're responsible for your own success, not your manager, not your mother, not your father, not anyone else out there. You are 100% responsible for your own success. So what three areas must you take 100% responsibility for? Because I see many salespeople blame their managers. They say, the manager's not doing anything. But it's your sales career. It's your, so you take some responsibility. Yeah, well, if you have a lousy manager, well, that's sad, but you can take some responsibility. So you got to wake up to what are the three areas you must take 100% responsibility in. For example, lead generation. You got to take the responsibility to generate your own leads. Don't worry about the company sending you leads. Consider that a bonus. But you get out there and do that. And the last question, quite possibly the best question, if you really look at it. Question 19. What three things can I do to have massive fun with my sales career? You got to have fun with this stuff, man. Life's too short to be miserable.
Okay.
So you got to have fun with it. I mean, like just how you have so much fun with all interviewing me. So there you go, Frida. So what three things can I do to have massive fun with my sales career? I mean, you know, maybe, you know, you could go out with your clients for meals. Every time you close a sale, you buy a new tie. Every time you close a sale, you go for a holiday. I don't know. You could just have some fun with this stuff.
And people don't take time to celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And you know, every time you celebrate and you have some fun, you're secreting dopamine in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the feel-good hormone. I mean, that's a hormone that gets you all pumped up. So you want to get more dopamine in. You want to celebrate all your wins, small wins, not just the big wins.
Mm.
I celebrate everything, any excuse to celebrate. I'm celebrating all the time. So there you go. So yeah, so these are the 19 questions. Spend some time on them. And it will really transform your entire life and your sales. So maybe what I'll do, I'll just very quickly go through all 19 again. So to those listening, at least here's a little summary. So 19 questions for your sales diagnostic. Number one, question one is, who is my target market? These are the chunks. Question two, where do I find them in the highest concentration? Question three, what are my strengths? What are my strategies to penetrate these highest concentrations? Question four, who are my dream 100 decision makers? Question five, what are the top three frustrations people have in dealing with my industry? Question six, what are the top three frustrations people have in dealing with my company? And question seven, what are the top three reasons customers have for buying my product or service? Question eight, what are the factors that will motivate a person to buy my product? Question nine, what are my product's top three features? Question 10, what are my top three benefits of these? What are the top three benefits of these features? Question 11, what are our top three advantages or our competitors? Very important one, actually. Question 12, who are our top three testimonials? Question 13, what are the top three beliefs I have that's stopping or slowing down my sales? Question 14, how did I come to believe this? Question 15, name three references of incredible sales performances in my company or industry. Question 16, what three things can I do to model that? Question 17, what three things, if I participate 100% in from today, will guarantee me a stellar sales performance? Question 18, what three areas must I take 100% responsibility in to be incredibly successful? And the last one, question 19, what three things can I do to have massive fun with my sales career?
Right. And this is important because, of course, if you take this information for this month, there's six months down.
That's right.
Right? You're going to be closing quarter two and all that.
And we're half year in. I mean, we're just two quarters almost done.
You'll be here for the second half of the year. That's the first Monday of July. I'm speaking to Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.